We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you, and hello again. My Music would not somehow be the same without them. I refer to my four colleagues, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. John Amos, in one of our programmes you whistled with great success a theme by Schubert, but you're not the only person around who can whistle. Listen to this record.
Sleuth am I live a life of ease, contented not to do or die, but idle as I please.
And so on, my song. John, whose voice and whose song?
It's kind of self-perpetuating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
Ian Wallace.
Yes, I think that's right.
And whose song?
It's a song by Michael Flanders.
Michael Flanders, without Swan in that particular instance. Michael Flanders receives the sole credit for the song The Sloth. You have the mark. Frank, from the same Ian Wallace LP, here's part of a dastardly plot.
Until the next morning she woke up in bed with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head. And a beard in her ear hole that tickled and said...
Said what, Frank?
Well, you mustn't eat cake in bed. Have some Madeira.
Yes, mark to you.
Michael Flanders was one, if not the best writer of deft, light lyrics this country's ever produced.
Yes, perhaps so, maybe so. Ian, I won't embarrass you by playing you one of your own records. Instead, I'll embarrass John by playing one of his. So here's a record by John Amos. Who was the composer? Breathes this composer in every bar.
Yes, it's Delius, is it?
Yes, it's Delius. A piece called A Late Lark.
Benny Herman asked me to do that record, and I said, well, no, I don't think I really ought to. And he said, but John, the song is very suitable.
A late lark.
Okay, you win.
Dennis, back to your partner, Ian, who appears here heavily disguised, vocally speaking, as a working man.
Flotilla Lane. Can't you hear their paddles chunking from Rangoon to Mandalay?
Dennis, who wrote that song?
Well, I know who wrote the words.
That'll do.
Rudyard,
yes.
Kipling, but
yes.
I don't know who wrote
it. Kipling.
Who wrote the music?
Gentleman with the unusual name of Oly Speaks.
Oly Speaks is right.
Well, there's not a lot of them around, are there?
And Rudyard Kipling's words, yes. Some questions to do with musical people. John Amos, you first, as usual. What did two Czernys, the Archduke Rudolf, and 46 others share with Liszt?
Well, there's a piece called Hexameron, Variations by umpteen different composers.
On...
a theme by Czerny.
I've got down here 50 variations on the waltz by Diabelli. which is the right
absolutely
answer.
Absolutely right, yes. As usual.
Well, it helps. In my case, I have the answers written down in front of me.
Well, that gives you a diabolical advantage.
Yes, it does. And it gives the other side a diabolical advantage of one mark for the moment. Frank, I mentioned two Czernys. What can you tell me about Czerny?
Only that this question is a Czerny into the unknown. He was a man of music.
Was he?
You know, the other day I jumped the gun with Frank and he said afterwards, well, you know, John, the trick is to wait until I ask for advice.
Now is the moment left.
Speak. Now, he was a friend of Beethoven.
Yes.
Nay, I think a pupil of Beethoven.
Pupil, yes, that's right.
He wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of piano exercises, studies, methods, and his opus numbers go up to about 600, I think.
The despair of many children in the years since.
This child.
Five-finger exercises and things. Well, so much for the sentimental Czerny. Mm-hmm. Ian Wallace, in a list of works by Vaughan Williams, I note one that reads, See the Chariot at Hand, with piano. There's another listed as, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men with Organ, in the publisher's list. And a suite for string orchestra, which bears the name of a famous school. Which school?
Charterhouse, to which he went.
Yes.
And to which I went. Not at the same time, of course.
No.
And in the early 1950s, we had a charity show in London in aid of a charity connected with the school. And I, greatly daring, wrote to him and said, would he consider coming and conducting the orchestra? And he rang me up terribly early one morning. He said, Vaughan Williams here. Yes, I'd be very happy. Got your letter, yes. And I'll conduct Greensleeves. That's the easiest. That's the one they want to hear. So we got to the evening and we had a What's My Line panel. And Vaughan Williams was standing, waiting to do his bit after this was over. And I got the impression that the whole audience was going to come up and be guessed by the panel. He said, this is going to take ages. It's just like having to sit through the Meistersingers.
Lovely old boy. He would have been well into his 70s then, I suppose.
Oh, he was, right?
Yes. Dennis, this chap's compositions include General William Booth Enters into Heaven, Romanzo di Central Park, and one called Slugging a Vampire. Can you give him a name?
Was he the same chap who wrote Two Deaths and a Marriage?
Isn't this clever, the way he turns the question right back onto me?
No, I don't know
who you have in mind.
No, no.
Please.
Well, I just made the name up anyway.
Oh, well done.
I was just giving Ian time to write.
No, I don't think he knows, right? Well, that makes a draw of that round. Charles Edward Ives.
Another nice thing about Charles Ives was that he had a wife whose name was Harmony. Mm. She was tone deaf.
I'm going to play each of you a middle bit on the piano, what's known as the middle eight. Though in fact it isn't the middle eight at all, it's the third of four eights, common misnomer. John, here's your middle bit. Middle bit of what? Now you do know it. I know you know it.
You do?
Yes.
Well then it must be by Gershwin.
No. It goes on, no marks. You know the title? Yes, Honeysuckle Rose. I knew you were an old Fats Waller fan at one time.
Yes, I
forgot your Wallerism.
Fats Waller.
Yeah.
The piano playing was rather different there.
Yes, well, yes.
Cruel. He wasn't trying. Yes.
No, but if he didn't.
I'll try to do better with yours. Yes. Here's yours.
Is a lovely way to spend an evening.
Yes, lovely way to spend an evening, gets you a mark. Ian.
Oh, my God.
That was very well done on my part, wasn't it? Saved about 8 bars there.
I was going to go on.
Yes. Ian, here's your middle eight.
Oh, believe it, beloved, because it's true. It's all that you meant to be, or something. Harry Roy used to sing that. I had a record, wasn't it? Didn't he used to
Harry
sing?
Harry who?
Harry Roy.
Oh, yes. Didn't he?
Oh, Harry Lauder. Beloved, because it's true.
Yes, another Fats Waller favourite, too. Believe it, beloved. That's right.
Oh, it's Dennis. Oh, yes.
Dennis, here's your middle bit.
I could see that gradient coming. The song is you.
The song is you. Yeah. Jerome Kern.
Jerome Kern. Yes.
A mark to you.
I'm so sorry you didn't do my favourite Jerome Kern middle bit, which is a very early one, isn't it? Friends ask me, am I in love? I always ask them.
Yes, might as well confess, if I don't they guess, I told every star just how wonderful you are. Why didn't I tell you?
If anybody else has any requests.
Thank you. Nice to be reminded of it. And back to recorded music for this next round. John, start us off by identifying the composer of this.
It sounds like a luggage van Beethoven.
No, it's earlier than Luggage Van.
Is it? Well, then it's George Frederick...
Yes.
As you might say, Handel.
Handel, as you might say. Yes, that's right. Do you think he gets the mark for that? Second choice.
Yes.
Well, they're such an indulgent lot. All right, then he gets the mark.
Every suitcase has a handle.
Frank, the piece that we just heard was called From the Censer Curling Rising. Curious title. I wonder if you could work your way to an explanation of the title. From the Censer Curling Rising.
There's a chap I knew who'd never been to a Roman Catholic service, and he went to Bompton Oratory, and he was rather epicene lad, and he got an aisle seat and was sitting there, and the procession came down the centre aisle with a fellow in front swinging the cursor, which was, of course, the incense burner. And he leant across to him as he passed and said, "Excuse me mentioning it, but your handbag's on fire." I do not believe a word of that.
Right. Yes. Ian, I've been reading Arnold Bennett's journals, a very interesting book, incidentally. One day in February 1910, Arnold Bennett went to see a certain show. Which show is the question for you? He wrote about it afterwards. Music even less charming than I expected. Plot all about drinking, whoring, and money. Names of tarts on the lips of characters all the time. What show would that be? 1910,
tarts.
He went to see it. It had been on a year or two then.
Jam.
Names apple. Of tarts on the lips of characters all the time. Do you really have an idea?
Is it one would say the Beggar's Opera.
Well, it would be a good idea, but I'll play you a little record. This is actually the list of tarts that must have been in his mind.
Ich zu Maxi, dort bin ich sehr.
Ich duze alle Damen, sie beim großen Namen. Margot, Fru, 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 sie lassen mich vergessen, das teure Vaterland.
He was really living it, wasn't he?
Yes,
no, it was, of course, the Merry.
It was the Merry Widow. I saw it was 1907.
Well, he saw it in 1910, you see. I said he saw it a year or two after it opened.
Yes.
I told Dennis it was a year or two after it opened. Well,
yes.
Half a mark, I think, it was the second choice.
Not worth any more.
No, not worth
not
even
really.
That. No marks. Dennis, here's some pleasant singing.
Boats adorn like the light, we're staying home tonight, far away from the bustle and the bright city lights. Let them all fade away, just leave us alone, and we'll live in a world of our own.
Dennis, was that Marty, Eve, Danny, Kathy and Paul, or was it Judith, Bruce, Keith and Athel?
It was a Tom Springfield tune, wasn't it? That,
well,
that
yes, but that was the only thing I didn't ask you, isn't it?
It was the Seekers.
Yes. Old or new?
No, it must be the old Seekers, actually.
So,
it's that far back. Was the one with Athel in it?
Yes, and, Judith, Bruce, Keith and Athel, the old Seekers, that's marked to you. To herald this next round, here's an impressive opening of Borodin's Second Symphony. Good, portentous stuff. John, who wrote Borodin's Third Symphony?
Glazunov.
Is the right answer, actually, yes. Borodin, of course, started it, but after his death it was completed by Glazunov.
Yeah.
You rightly say for a mark.
That is the only work I have ever conducted, but it was also an unfinished symphony for me because they stopped me after the second movement, quite rightly. Because that work, I don't know whether you hear it from that thing, but it's all pause bark, pause, off, pause, off. And it goes on doing that. I knocked the leader's stand over 7 times. And the second movement is a scherzo, and it goes very fast, pop, 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 one in a bar. Unfortunately, the way I was conducting it got slower and slower and slower, as if I was stirring a rather recalcitrant Christmas pudding. When the second trumpet had a moment, he said, couldn't you conduct it a bit faster? It's like, I'm trying!
You should have bought yourself a baton and not tried to make do with a spring onion.
Frank, you must have heard Ravel's Bolero 1,000 times, or maybe it just feels like 1,000 times. After that dum-diddly-dum-diddly-dum opening, which instrument plays first the theme?
It's a woodwind.
Yes, it is.
It is a woodwind.
Yes, it's a woodwind instrument.
It's a flute.
It's a, according to John, it's a left-handed flute.
Yeah. Well, he's a flautist who's backed up against a wall, you see, so he's got to play it backhand.
It is a flute, and here's the proof. Very, very popular piece. I've been looking forward to telling you about a letter I had from Mr. R.L. Neeson, a listener in Welland Garden City, who mentioned a programme, in fact he sent me a programme, which advertised a selection from the Meccano. And there's two pieces by the local...
Adrian Bolt.
It's lovely, that, yeah. It's a typed and run-off programme, you know the type, given by a local band. It included two gems by Gilbert and Sullivan. When the Foreman Bears His Steel was one of them.
I was very liberal.
And quite my favourite, from the Gondoliers, the famous Garotte. It We return to the questioning. Ian, who wrote Mozart's 37th symphony?
Oh, I'm going to stick my neck out and say Mozart.
Well, the introduction to the first movement only. Thereafter...
Oh.
Well, thereafter it was Michael Haydn. Michael Haydn.
Oh, Michael.
The rest of it, yes. Oh, old Mike. Yeah, can't give you the mark there. No. Dennis, somebody once described opera as an exotic and irrational entertainment. Who was it? An exotic and irrational entertainment.
It sounds like... I could have been me, because but I don't... on this programme, I very rarely listen to what I'm saying. It's a sort of model that anybody could have made, actually. It's not particularly...
Well, he probably said...
I've got the answer. I've got the answer. The moving fingers is, not only writ, but it's moved it on to
sir,
me.
Sir, he said.
Dr. Johnson.
Yes, yes. Sir.
Sir.
Exotic
yes,
and irrational yeah. entertainment, all right, then.
No, I knew immediately you said sir, but after Ian had gone to the trouble of writing, yes. I had to go through the motion.
Your side got it, so you get
the mark. I sent you a free copy and you didn't read it, did you?
I
said I'd
Johnson.
Read it. I didn't promise to learn it by heart.
Yes, it appears in your book, your miscellany, frankly. Now for the singing. The order being John, Frank, Dennis and Ian. It's always rather nice if some common factor links the four songs. The one thing these four songs have in common is that each one of them is about either tapers, a gilded cage, someone hanging on the bell, or the rollicking gay highway. John's being first, and it's about tapers. Flashing tapers at midnight, the dancers thronging round.
Amidst all the dancers, confusing with vanity's worldly display, I suddenly saw you stand musing some secret that lay in your heart. Your eyes with deep pathos were gazing, that voice was so sad I adore, with soft haunting cadence, so poignant, like wavelets that die on the shore.
He's not rubbish, my lad, is he?
No. Song by Tolstoy, Tchaikovsky and Amos in that order. Yes.
Thank you.
Frank.
With a little bit of race at the end.
Oh, a little bit of race at the end. That, yes. Frank, I said something rather earlier about a gilded cage.
I noticed it, yes.
Yes. You thought that might conceivably be for you, did you?
Yes. Yes.
Shall we have a little bash?
She's... Is that sort of E flat minor or something difficult for you?
It's four sharps, but who's counting? Well,
she's a ha 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 only a bird in a gilded cage, a beautiful sight to see. You might think she's happy and free from care, but she's not what she seems. It's a sad when you think of her ways in life, for youth cannot mate with age. Her beauty was sold for an old man's gold. She's a bird in a gilded cage.
Dennis, what did Mrs. Caruso tell Mrs. O'Flynn? It's all there in the lyrics. You give us the answer in the song.
Well, you have to know the background to it, which is that Josephine and Joe were so in love, so much in love. In the hall for hours they would stay. When Josephine came in, she'd hear her mother say, Josephina, please no leaner on the bell. When you mush, please no push on the bell. I heard Mrs. Caruso telling Mrs. O'Flynn, somebody keeps ringing, but nobody comes in. You can squeeze all you please, that's all right. But don't keep us from sleep all the night. When you make love in the hall,
please don't lean on the wall. She's Josephina, please don't lean on the bed.
Ian, there was a great vogue some generation or two ago for songs that extolled the open-air nomadic life. The open sky, my pillow, the turf above my head, you know, the kind of thing. A dog in my hand, a good friend at my feet. All you need is to start with any old coat and any old hat, and the rest of the song falls into place. Yeah. Can you manage that?
Any old hat and any old coat and any old stick will do. As long as the open runs ahead and the skies above are blue, any old friend can come along with me, and any true heart I say, I will sing my rhyme, I will live my time on the rollicking day highway.
What remains for me to do is wish you happy hiking on your gay highway, or whatever it is that turns you on. This week's programme has brought a modest victory to John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.